Bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 2. Please turn there in your Bibles. And while you are turning there, don't worry about it if your life is a train wreck. Get to know the grace of God. Period. Don't worry about it if your life is a train wreck. God will not deal with you according to the details of your life. God will deal with you according to the blood of Christ, according to the finished work, according to His mercy that endures forever, and according to grace. Don't worry about it if you feel like your life is a train wreck. Some people feel like they're a train wreck in their heads. That's very common. I'm okay on the outside, but if you really knew what I was like on the inside. Well, the Holy Spirit knows what you're like on the inside, and He loves you anyway. Okay, He's living in there. He hears your thoughts before you think them. He loves you anyway. If your life is a train wreck, if you think you can't think, if you don't know what you're doing, if you fall on your face, welcome to a life with God. We're all there. Every one of us is in that very place. I don't care how good anybody looks on the outside, they're a train wreck. Not one of us is anything apart from the Savior. Okay? So don't worry about it. You made an utter failure of things? Who cares? It really doesn't matter. Just pick yourself up, shake the dust off, apply the blood of Christ. In other words, trust the blood of Christ that it has already cleansed you from whatever mistakes you might have made, and just keep going. Because that's what our lives are about. Okay, two steps forward, one step back. Okay, you take two steps forward and you're going to end up taking a step back. Not because you're trying to, just because you slip. Okay, welcome to humanity with God. That's what it's like, folks. You think you didn't get it right? You think somebody's going to be mad? Nobody's mad at anybody. I mean, they might be, but they're fleshing out if they are, so don't worry about it. Okay? God's not mad. God doesn't get angry because somebody doesn't have it all together. God died for you because you don't have it all together. If you had it all together, there would be no need for the cross. So don't worry about it. Just keep moving forward. That's it right there. Just keep moving forward. Backsliding is when I don't keep moving forward. Standing still is a form of backsliding. You just keep moving. How do I keep moving forward? You keep being faithful. You keep showing up. You keep getting built up in the Word of God. You keep drawing near to God. Every time you fail, you keep practicing 1 John 1:9. Folks, you just keep moving forward. It's that simple. Okay? There's no striving in it. Apply grace. You're moving forward. You apply grace, you're moving forward. Apply mercy, you're moving forward. Apply the blood, you're moving forward. Apply the promises, you're moving forward. Everybody is a train wreck of one sort or another. Okay, so that doesn't mean anything. Everybody is a mess of one sort or another. There's not one human being breathing today who is not a mess in one form or another. Billy Graham, God bless him, he's an amazing man of God. Inside his heart, there's an area where he is a total mess. Why? Because he's just like the rest of us. Okay? Did God use them? Of course He used them. He used them amazingly. But He's no different than anybody else. The great heroes of the faith are no different than anybody else. They're just people who are willing to keep moving forward. Most of the great heroes of the faith you'll never hear about. But in heaven you certainly will. You just keep moving forward. That's how you live with God. You just keep moving forward. You mess it up, who cares? Just keep moving forward. You fail, who cares? Just keep moving. You sin, who cares? Just keep moving forward. Okay, none of that stuff makes any difference whatsoever. You just keep moving forward. Something bad happened, okay, maybe you'll have people have compassion and that's appropriate and all that, but you keep moving forward anyway. Okay? You just keep moving forward. In all things, you just keep moving forward. Never stop moving forward. You fall backward, pick yourself up and move forward. Okay? That's how you live with God. I don't care what it is that you've done. I don't care what it is that has happened. It's really pretty irrelevant. You just keep moving forward. Okay, don't let anything bog you down to keep you from moving forward. Okay, you just keep moving forward. Okay? You blew up at your best friend or your family or whatever. Who cares? Just keep moving forward. It's no surprise to anybody that anybody has a flesh. Okay? So, just keep moving forward. You don't live in it, by the way. That's a whole other story. But if you happen to fail for a few moments, who cares? Just keep moving forward. If you happen to fail for a few years, who cares? Just keep moving forward. Okay, it doesn't make any difference. One thing makes a difference. Where are you with God? Where is your heart with God? Faithfulness is about faithfulness in the heart. David was faithful, Solomon was not. Okay? That's the bottom line. Israel got torn in half because of Solomon. David was faithful, Solomon was not. Solomon had greater wisdom than David. But he didn't have the heart to always use it. David was a train wreck among train wrecks. But his heart never swayed from God. Sit right there, folks. If you get that, you've got everything. Shoot, if you get that, may as well just go home. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. You are a peculiar people. I've always thought that some of you were really peculiar. You are a peculiar people. You are very peculiar. You don't know what the word means. It doesn't mean peculiar. You are very exceedingly, mind-numbingly peculiar. You are very peculiar. Every one of you is like tremendously peculiar. That you should show forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which hath not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. There was a time when you had no mercy, but now there is a time when you live in mercy. You're a chosen generation. What does it mean to be a chosen generation? Well, first of all, it's not talking about chosen. And second, it's not talking about generation. I have no idea why the King James translated that way. It's not chosen generation. It's genos eklekton. Okay? And what it means is you are a unique race. You are a unique race of people is what he's talking about. You are a unique race. You're a breed. A species. You're a unique species. That's what he's talking about. You're a unique species, a unique race. Folks, when we became new creations in 2 Corinthians 5:17, when all things passed away and all things became new, we became new creatures. It doesn't say there that we became new people. It does not say that we became new of the old kind. It doesn't say that we've been cleansed but are the same thing. It says you have become entirely new creatures. Okay, a new creation. In other words, you're not the old creation. How many people relate to themselves, particularly older people who might have gotten saved later on in life, how many people relate to themselves according to what happened to some dead guy in the past? Well, folks, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I am. It's already a done deal. Reckon yourself dead indeed. Okay, the old man has passed away. You're not the old man. You are a new species. You're something that never existed before. It amazes me how many people relate to that old man, to the one that's dead and in the ground. How many people relate to mistakes they have made before they got saved? How many people relate to the things that happened to them before they got saved? How many people relate to the things that the world did to them before they got saved? Folks, that person has died. Do you understand that? That person has died. This is why Paul in Romans chapter 7 calls him the corpse. Who shall deliver me from this body of death is this corpse that I'm lugging around on my back. Because Paul was trying at that time to live in that which has died. You are not the one that has died. You are the one that is living. You are the one that has been raised from the dead with Christ. You're the one that's seated above in heavenly places in Christ. That is not a dead man. That is a living one. You're a new species. You're not even after Adam's kind. You're after the spirit kind. You're a new species. Never relate to that which is dead. There is a tendency in Christianity, and I think it's very common, for Christians to think back for the days before they were saved, or to the days before they got their life with, right with God, and they relate to those things that are passed away. Well, the Word of God says that the old things are passed away. They're not here. Hello? They're not here. They're passed away. They are not a part of you. They have nothing to do with you. They cannot touch you. They have no place in your identity. They have no place in your frame of reference. They are passed away. God does not remember those things anymore. Do you get this? God does not remember those things anymore. Why does a fornicator or a drug addict or somebody who's into pornography or somebody who's into alcohol or whatever, why do these people, after they get saved, turn back to those things? Because their soul cleaves to the dust, they return to their vomit, they go after the beggarly elements. But it's not who they are. The person who does that has to discard who they are, not live in who they are, and take on a false memory with a false identity, saying, this is who I am. I am this trash can. You're not a trash can. You're not made of rubber. You are a human being who has been born again. You have been made a new creation. You are a new species of person. You are a different type than that which has died. I know people whose picture I've seen before they got saved, and they don't even remotely resemble themselves. I was shown a picture of somebody one time they got saved, and I could not pick them out in that picture. A group of people there, they said, which one's me? And I said, I have no idea. Why? Because they're a new creation. They're a new species, a new creature. They are not that which has passed away. They are the new. They are that which is born of the Spirit. They are that which has come from above. Folks, you are new species. You are a new species. You don't relate to the old species. The old species has died. You are the new species. It's astonishing the difference in even the appearance of people before and after they got saved. And the more they grow, the more they are transformed. The old has passed away. What is now is the new. The Word of God says in John chapter 3 and verse 5, "Except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Now in John 3:6 it continues, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." This is a powerful contrast, because it is talking about two different experiences in our application. The one experience is that one who possesses the life, or let me put it this way. The one experience is talking about that one who possesses the truth, the position of being a new creation. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh. Whatever is born of the spirit is spirit. That person is a new creation, but they may not be experiencing their new creation state. As a believer, I want to experience my new creation state. I want to experience what it means to be that chosen generation, that new species. The way that I enter into that experience is then, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What does that mean? That though I may have new creation position, I may not be functioning in the new creation kingdom. The way that I function in the new creation kingdom is the water and the Spirit. What is the water? The water talks about the Word of God. Okay, the Bible makes it clear when it's talking about water in a context like this, it's talking about the Word of God, the water of the Word. The way that I experience new creation status is through the Holy Spirit imparting the Word to my life. Now, the Holy Spirit, by His very presence in me, tries to impart that to me. But when the Holy Spirit is quenched, because I'm going to cling to the dust, then I do not enter into that kingdom experience. Then I have the position, but my experience is still that of that which was dead, and actually even less than that. Because I am a new creature, I can't enjoy what the world enjoys anymore. It will not fulfill or satisfy me. I can try to, but I will always end up empty. I will always end up short. The way that I enter into that new creation experience, and the practical details, and the practical thinking in my life, the way that I become an overcomer, and the practical experience in the daily details of my life, is through the Word and the Spirit. Now folks, not just through the Word, not just through the Spirit. It is when the Word takes the Spirit and applies it to my life. There I experience what it means. How many people got hurt? How many people got hurt? Let's say that you got into a big fight with somebody you care about and now you're hurt. Folks, apply what the Word of God says through the Spirit. Apply what the Word of God says. He is my comforter. He consoles me. I draw near to Him and He consoles me. He's the healing balm. Maybe somebody was fleshing out. I recognize that person needs to be loved. I need to be loved. I draw near to the love of God, and then I have the capacity to love that person even in the midst of whatever it is that has taken place or is taking place. Folks, through the Word and the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit applying the Word to my heart, I experience that kingdom in my life. In other words, it reigns in my life. It regulates my life. It gives me a way of thinking. I can, because I do have a free volition, choose, and that's what it is. People say, I can't help myself. No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. You can help yourself. The way that I help myself is by believing what God has said. And that's my choice. Folks, you can have a successful, victorious experience in the midst of whatever it is that you're in. You simply mix faith through the Spirit of God with what you hear. The Holy Spirit is already resident in you. It takes more work on your part, more effort to quench Him than to be transformed by Him. Because you got to put yourself up against God if you want to quench Him. And you simply rest and let God do it if you want to be transformed by Him. Believe what He said. It's that simple. Believe what He said. He cannot lie. He's not a man. Believe what He said. God does not lie. God does not play jokes. God does not play tricks. God doesn't try to trick you into believing something that's not real. Believe what He said. Just believe what He said. He said, "You're precious in my eyes and I love you." He said, "All things are passed away. All things are become new." He said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." He said, "It's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Believe what He said. It's that simple. Just believe what He said. He says that He answers prayer. How many people are convinced that God will not answer their prayer? Isn't that kind of a strange way to approach prayer? I'm going to ask you, but I know you're not going to do it. Are you even praying then? I don't know. But believe what He said. People think they're more honest than God. That's what Lucifer thought. Just believe what He said. We are a peculiar people. We are a peculiar people. Do you know what that means? It's laos es peripteosin. I butchered that. That's okay. What it is a people over and above the others. That's peripteosis laos. A people that is above the others. And peripteosis, which is what that phrase is made of, those two parts, is a possession in a special sense. What it's talking about is you are a special chosen possession. When somebody calls you peculiar, say thank you. I know I am peculiar. I am a special chosen possession of God. Folks, He has chosen you. Didn't Jesus say, "You have not chosen me, I have chosen you"? You didn't even have to make the choice. You simply responded, and there was your choice. But you were selected by God. You think you're a trainer, you think everything's awful, you think that somehow you're completely inept and inadequate, you think somehow that you have messed things up, you think somehow that you are way less than what you ought to be. Well, I got news for you. In all the things that you may think about yourself, God saw you and chose you. Knowing all the contents of your heart, God saw you and chose you for Himself. You are indeed peculiar. You have been chosen from eternity past to have a plan established that took thousands of years to carry out to get you to this point that will affect all of eternity for this one reason. Because God chose you and wants you to know Him. The plan is important. The relationship is key. God chose you to know Him. God chose you to live with Him. God chose you to be His bride. God chose you. God chose you to have a call. God chose you to have a purpose. God chose your life to have deep and profound meaning. God chose you. Do not think for a nanosecond that God did not choose you. God didn't ask you, okay, in exchange for allowing you to come here, these are my requirements of you. He's the one who initiated it. He's the one who chose you. He picked you. God chose you. Folks, you are a peculiar people. He chose you to be His beloved. God chose you. He didn't choose everybody else. He chose you. Don't worry about everybody else. What did Jesus say to Peter when he asked about John? He said, "What is that to you? You follow me." Don't worry about what God is doing with everybody else. What is that to you? You follow me. Don't worry about what God is even doing with your family or your friends. Don't worry about that. What is that to you? You follow the Savior. God chose you. Follow Him. He knew the contents of your heart long before you ever thought them. Long before you ever had what you have in your head, in your heart, in your frame of reference, He knew all about it. People say, if you only knew, and God says, I do know. I had known. I knew before you were born. I knew before anybody was born. But God chose you. Don't try to make heads or tails what merit in you caused God to choose you. There was no merit in you that caused God to choose you. God chose you because He loves you. It's that simple. You were chosen because God loves you. Easy enough. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, you were bought with a price. He didn't just choose you. He purchased you. In other words, it wasn't a simple choice. It wasn't like take what there is and keep it. No, it cost Him something. In order for God to have you in His life, it cost Him something. What did it cost Him? In 1 Peter 18 and 19, it cost Him His precious blood. In chapter 1. It cost Him His blood to choose you. So you are not a cheap gift. You are the most expensive gift that ever existed. In all of eternity, in all of creation, you were the top gift. And so He paid for you with His blood. You are peculiar. First Peter 2:9 continues, He's called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. He called you out of darkness. This is how He purchased you. Because you were in darkness and He called you out of that darkness. What is darkness? Darkness is Satan's world system. That is darkness. He called you out of that darkness. Ephesians 2:2 says, where in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. This is where you were at one time before you became a new creation. That dead person who had your kidneys, that dead person, this is who they were. But God paid with His blood, with His life, for that person to die so that you could live. In application, this is a part of what it means in Isaiah 43 and verse 5 when He says, I will give other lives for yours. In other words, He took that dead person and He killed them so that you could live. That's what the cross was about. You were chosen. Folks, the blood paid for your life. Your life is meaningful. The blood paid for your life. It is meaningful. The blood paid for you. You do have value. The blood took care of you. The blood gave you a purpose. You have been chosen. So if you've been chosen and you call out of darkness, Ephesians 5:8 says, walk as children of the light. Well, in John 12:36, the Word of God says, while you have light, believe in the light, that you may be children of the light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and He hid Himself from them. While you have light, believe in the light. While you have the Word of God, believe in the Word of God. While you have the Holy Spirit, believe what the Holy Spirit imparts. While you have light, believe in the light and walk as children of the light. What does it mean for me to walk as children of the light? Well, in 1 John 1:5, God is light and in Him there is no darkness. And then in 1 John 2:10, He says, he that loves his brother abides in the light. He that loves, that has agape, unconditional patience and kindness toward his brother, abides in the light. And there is no occasion of stumbling in him. Why not? Because what is it to fulfill the law according to James chapter 2? To fulfill the law means that I love my brother. And that is the fulfillment of the law. And in that, there is no stumbling. If I'm going to walk in the light, I walk in unconditional patience and kindness. Now, I have unconditional patience and kindness because He gave me unconditional patience and kindness first. I did not come up with it on my own. I received it from Him, and I received it to such an extent that it now overflows from me. So if I'm walking in the light, it's because I am in the light, and in that fact that I'm walking in the light, I now have a capacity to love other people with God's brand of love. Now, folks, loving people does not mean the things that the world thinks it means. Loving people means I am unconditionally patient and kind. I may not even like them, but I love them. The world constantly confuses filio with agape. Filio is love because of appreciation. But agape is love because of the character of the one who possesses it. It is totally independent of the other person. So you may say to yourself, how can I love them? I don't even like them. Well, liking them and loving them are completely unrelated. It's better to like them also. I mean, there is a portion where the apostle says, be kindly affectioned one toward another, and he's talking about the body of Christ. But that's not going to happen without agape's presence first. And as agape takes over the heart of the believer, then they are able to be kindly affectioned toward the other. And if the person is completely off and completely wrong and perhaps maybe even hostile, They can be loved anyway, even though you may not like the way they are behaving. Folks, this is walking in the light. Jesus said, "By this men will know that you are my disciples, that you have unconditional patience and kindness toward one another, as I have had unconditional patience and kindness toward you." It's that simple. Live in unconditional patience and kindness from God toward you. In other words, no matter what it is, run to Him as a child runs to a parent with their arms open, knowing that whatever happens, God will be unconditionally patient and kind toward you. That He will be very gentle towards you, very kind and merciful. And then, let that fill you to the point where it pours out of you. Let it fill you to pouring out of you. There is this thing sometimes in the flesh where we don't want to let God love us, because we are looking at ourselves. Some people even feel like they shouldn't need God to love them. They should be the pillar of them on their own. Well, that's ridiculous. It's simply ridiculous. You let God love you no matter how you feel about it. And if you feel unworthy or you feel too proud, cast it aside and let Him love you anyway. Because this is how you walk as children of the light. Children, by the way, is talking offspring. That's fruit. Let God's love produce fruit in you. There is a fruit of the Spirit. Let it be produced. In Galatians 5:22, let that fruit be produced. Love, joy, peace, meekness, gentleness, temperance, goodness, kindness. The whole nine yards. Let it be produced. You let it be produced not by your own actions, but by the actions of God as you draw near to Him. You can't work it up, folks. What's in there is what's in there. The beautiful thing is that God's the one who produces it in you. You don't have to produce it in yourself. You receive it, you don't produce it. Which in times past, in 1 Peter 2:10, were not a people, but now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. The new creation is created out of mercy. This is why a spirit-filled believer tends to be very merciful to people who fail. Very kind to them. Why? Because the new creature is made out of mercy. The new creature was made out of blood. Folks, the fact that you have mercy toward you is not a question. It's a reality. In other words, God will always be merciful toward you because He shed His blood for you. There's never going to be a time when you will receive anything but the mercy of God. You will always receive the mercy of God. Why? Because He shed His blood for you. So I don't have to be afraid ever to come to Him, because what I will encounter is mercy. Now Jude 21 says, "Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for mercy." The first expression in that sense of the love of God is His mercy. Folks, patience is the manifestation of mercy. I don't deserve patience. I deserve something else. But God doesn't give me what I deserve. That's mercy. know this, that you will always receive mercy because the blood was shed. When I receive this, I can enter into the Colossians 3:10 new man. Folks, we are the new creature. Okay, we are the new creature. We enter into that new man by the knowledge of Him, by the doctrine, by the Word of God. We enter into that new man by the Word of God. Folks, this is who we are. Okay, do you understand this? This is who we are. You don't have to worry about trying to be. You already are. Now, through the Word and the Spirit, you live in that which you have already become. Amen?